Blog Talk Radio.
Will we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose of God? In this 15-minute segment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith, encouraged in that process, even in the Word of God, and how God will use our everyday life to show us His goodness, His greatness, to mold us, to shape us, to cause us to grow in heights and depths, and cause our faith to grow, cause us to be, even to understand Him in a greater dimension, so that our light can shine, so someone else's life can be changed. But as we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are changed, and everything around us is changed because we now take on the attitude of applying the Word of God to our daily life. What we are taught, what we learn by reading the Word of God, what we're taught in Bible study on Sunday mornings, we now take that word that we understand, that knowledge, that truth, and we apply it as an application every single day. And as we do, we bear fruit. And that fruit is a righteous fruit that causes everything in our life to now adapt to, align to the Word and the will of God, and to produce that righteous fruit that is contagious. That everything in our life now is moving in the direction of God's kingdom, God's agenda, and God's word and God's will, producing God's life and God's fruit. In this empowerment, you're going to understand that God has no respecter of persons, that when He chooses an individual, when He chooses a family, a nation, for His glory, He gets the glory out of them, and the gifts and the talent that you have are going to be used for His glory, and He's going to get all of the glory out of you through the process of your there walk. And our there walk is that Abraham walk. We're on a journey to a place there. And as we continue to walk by faith and not by sight, God will continue to take us there, and we will go through this process until He cracks the sky, being changed line upon line, priest upon priest, at glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith, so that we can look like Him. We've been in the book of Proverbs, and we're going back to that book, and we're going to learn some more wisdom. The book of Proverbs is the book that God downloaded into Solomon because he wanted to be wise and leading God's people. And that wisdom was given so that we can be skilled and know how to act in every situation. And we can all attest that there have been times in our lives that we have not acted, behaved, handled things in the right way. And the book of Proverbs helps us deal with solving problems, helps us deal with issues, how to relate, how to handle certain things, how to address certain issues, how to talk on our job, in our family, in our marriages, with our children, in our community, even in ministry, in difficult places, different things. It gives us that wisdom. So we're going to go there, and we're looking at wisdom for a strong marriage. Proverbs 18 and 22 says, "He who finds a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord." Now, God created marriage. He created the institution of marriage, and He created it for the perpetuation of the human race. Genesis 1 and 28 lets us understand that, because it says that God blessed them, the man and the woman, and that He said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So marriage, in the eyes of God, is between a man and a woman. And that's because we're Christians. That's what we believe. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And Genesis 2 and 18 lets us understand that when God created Eve for Adam, He did so because Adam needed a helpmeet. And a helpmeet in this context means to aid. It means to aid, and it helped him move in the direction of God's will. Genesis 2 and 24 says, "For this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." One flesh. God took that rib out of Adam and He put it inside of Eve so that they can become one flesh. And though marriages in this day and this time are really taken lightly, marriage is not something that people address wholeheartedly. And the New Testament lets us understand, even when Paul addresses marriage and he talks about godly marriage, and he talks about the father, the father's role, the mother's role, the role of the children, the role of the husband. He's saying this because he's saying, now that you're in Christ, you understand the responsibility of what it is to be a godly husband, a godly father. a godly wife, a godly mother. You're not taking on the world's role. You're not doing this in your own self. You're doing this according to the word of God, and you're allowing God to lead you and guide you, to chasten you, to shape you, so that what you produce now is that the evidence and the fruit that your children might live thereby, that you're going to teach them and live the word before them. You're not just going to teach it to them, but you're going to live it. And as you're doing so, you're going to produce a righteous generation. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. That doesn't mean your children are going to be perfect. But it means that you place God first, head of your life, and God is going to get the glory out of you because you're submitting to his will, and you're allowing the word of God to be that which is the forefront of your life, that you live by, that you follow by, that you command to be the authority in your life. And as you do so, your children are following the examples so that they'll know not only how to handle one another, treat you, respect you, submit to authority, but even how they are to act within, when they live and go out on their own in the world, that they will have the foundational truths inside of them, that they will not be tossed to and fro, that they won't be swayed by every doctrine, but they will know the truth, and the truth is going to set them free. So we understand that even though marriage today is taken very lightly, but we understand the seriousness of it, it's serious with God. We understand that God takes marriage serious because it's his idea, it's his plan, it's his purpose. And even though 50% of all marriages of the saved and unsaved get divorced, this is still God's plan. It's still honorable. It's still something, an institution that God himself has blessed. God himself considers to be holy. The bed of this marriage is considered to be holy unto God, under the will of God. So that we be in a marriage that is holy, and that we give ourselves to one another, and that as we do this, we honor God. Hebrews 13 and 14 said, marriage should be honored by all, the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. And that's letting us understand how God sees marriage and how God wants our marriage to be, and how God wants us not to take someone for granted and go outside of our marriage and do things that cause more harm, cause the home to be split, cause the children to become bitter and abrupt, and call them not to trust and not to even see marriage as something that God is over. Because if you are in a godly marriage and these things happen and the children find out, it lets them feel as if God, who is the head of the life of the parents, couldn't stop or did not have power enough to stop someone who chose to do something against God's will. And it puts them, because they don't understand the true concept of everything we know, they don't understand that we have a choice, we have a will, but what we, our choices are what we live or die by. If you make allow your flesh to lead you out, and you make a decision off of a temporary feeling, it will cost you. If you allow your flesh to get you in a place where you are led by that flesh and not allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to crucify that area, to come in and deal with that area, and you have not allowed God to help bring you to a place where that thing is not ruling you, because that flesh has no authority over you now that you're in Christ, when we allow our flesh to rule us and thoughts to come, and we don't bind those thoughts up and take the blood and put over those thoughts and allow the word of God to be over our mind, and we and getting that word and renew our mind, and we keep allowing our flesh to rule us more than the Spirit of God, it opens the door to certain things, and then certain activities, certain conducts, being around certain atmospheres will open the doors of temptation. So we have to keep our mind renewed in the word of God. We have to keep our spirits built up, praying and seeking God and making sure we walk in right relationship with him and our spouses, so that we don't open the door, give way to the enemy to come in and bring temptation. We got to make sure we mortify the works of the flesh so that we will be that which is that we've been called to be. And this is just not talking about married couples. This is with everyone that is a Christian, because temptation comes to us all. But we have the power to resist it and not allow that to birth fruit in us that's unrighteous. We can walk by the Spirit and birth the righteous Spirit that causes us to bear the fruit that other people can live by, that glorifies God, and not allow the enemy to win in our lives in those different areas. We have authority and power, and we've got to learn how to exercise that so that the enemy does not win, because he wants marriage to look bad. He wants marriage to be something that is frowned upon and something that people don't want to have because they see it as dull and boring and all of these different excuses that they have out here. But marriage can be joyful and loving, and it can be something that glorifies God. Anything worth having is going to be work. If it's a business, you're going to have to work in that business to make it do what you want to do, but you're willing to work in it because it's your business. It's the same is with marriage. Marriage is going to take work, but it's depending on your mindset and your heart and how you see it and how you approach it. Because if you do it the right way with the right attitude and work together in unity, it will not be a task. It will be something that you find joy in, that you will, that fulfills you, that fulfills your children, that you will be able to say, God put his hand on this because we kept him first in our marriage and we are becoming one. That two becoming one means that you cleave to each other. That means you work on it, that you allow the word of God, the spirit of God, to work on you and your spouse, and you do what God wants you to do so that you can bear the fruit of what he wants you to in your house. And that's what you need, that righteous seed. Every generation will know the Lord. Let's go on. The Bible lets us understand that in Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Proverbs 3 and 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruit, and all of your crops. Amos 3 and 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? There, all of these things are main keys that we find that split people up in marriages, following after the commandments of God, money issues, and agreeing together. These are the things that we see people argue about, fuss about, and the disagreement could be about something very simple, but it causes a lot of issues. And so when we understand that successful marriages is going to take you basic partnering with God and honoring God first, it's going to take you praying together, reading the word together. It's going to take you understanding what God's will is for your life and for your marriage, what you two are to do together. It's going to take you communicating with one another and being patient and forgiving with one another. It's going to take you trusting God and trusting each other. It's going to take a committed walk, and that walk says, God, I'm not looking for a plan B, C, or D. This is it. I want your will, and you're going to show me how to do it, and together we're going to walk this out. So when we understand that, we can see that when two people walk in unity, they honor God in the same way. They live the same principles and beliefs. They have and this is not talking about being a robot. It means that we both agree on the word of God. We both agreed on the principles of God. We both agree this is the will of God for our lives, and we're going to do this. That doesn't mean that you're going to agree about everyday situations, but you agree about what the word says about your life and his will and his word concerning certain thoughts, certain behaviors, certain principles. You live by God's word. And that's what the primal thing is. You're not a robot, but you still have feelings and emotions and opinion. But when it comes to what the word says about certain things, you agree solely. This is what we are going to do. This is how we're going to live. This is how we're going to watch our life develop. And when you do that, you honor God because the two of you are walking together and you're walking and producing the joy and the peace of righteousness in your lives and in your home, and it spreads to everything in your life and produces that same fruit in your life. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and 19, it says, if two of you were on earth will touch and agree on anything you ask for, it will be done by your Father in heaven. So your touching and agreeing is powerful. That's all the time we have for today. We'll come back tomorrow and touch some more on this, on the marriage and the principles of marriage with wisdom. Be blessed, and we'll see you tomorrow.